And now, from the diamond to the dugout, it's the Twins Nation Podcast. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host.
With you again this week. How are you this week, Matt? How was your week?
Week went pretty good. Just enjoying a relaxing fall weather. So no softball, no nothing. No nothing going on. So I'm enjoying it.
That's kind of weird for you, isn't it? You get pretty busy during the summer, I bet. It sounds like.
Yeah. Let's just say I probably spend about 4 to 5 nights a week at a ballpark.
So, not a bad place to be, if you ask me.
No. But I know my honeydew list adds up at the end of summer and into fall. So it's like I said, it's, you know, I'm getting home. You know, I'm home now. I don't have to go do nothing, and I can kind of get caught up on all my projects that I haven't been getting done. So
yeah, I suppose you do. So that, have fun with that. Well, at least we had a pretty enjoyable baseball for you to watch this week if you got a chance, watch or listen to. Our Twins are trucking along here. Had themselves a pretty good week. They actually lost their first series of the week, but they were close in each game. 2 out of 3 from Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Lost Monday and Wednesday. Mainly, when I watched, it was some issues with the pitching. Sonny Gray didn't have the greatest day on Monday. Was only able to go 4 innings and threw about almost 90 pitches. Dylan Floro had a bad outing, 3 runs in an inning. And Brent Hedrick didn't look as that great with inning and a 3rd and 2 runs. The offense did all right. All the runs were scored on home runs. Royce Lewis continues to be otherworldly. That night he hit a 3-run homer. And then Max Kepler, I believe he has the team lead in home runs now with 22. He had a home run on Monday. Tuesday?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, no, I was just reflecting on that. Yeah, like I said, Sonny had a pretty horrible game on Monday. Mm-hmm. Throwing 89 pitches in 4 innings. And the bizarre part was he only, out of those 90 pitches, only 55 of them were strikes.
Yeah, that's not normal. He's usually right around the plate. So that's what was weird is how he really struggled with the control. He didn't walk really anybody, but they kept fouling balls off, I think, and getting hit and just struggled.
Yeah, I mean, the bullpen struggled, you know, obviously in 5 innings. They gave up 7 hits, 5 earned runs, you know, and – you know, and I was tallying up some stuff, and it's, man, did they, you know, they pitching was rough on Monday. I mean, 3 pass balls, walked 6 batters, 3 hit by pit, you know, 3 hit by pitches.
Yeah.
So,
it was an ugly game. And they still were somewhat in it, but Yeah, the ugliness. Tuesday they bounced back, 1-3-2. Even though they got a struggling start from their starter again, Joe Ryan. He went over 100 pitches in 4 2/3. Part of that was he did pile up some strikeouts with 7, but they were able to get quite a few hits and just made him work for those outs. And he didn't have the put-away pitch very well that night.
No, I mean, that was, you know, kind of another uncharacteristic game. You know, I mean, 100 pitches and, you know, a little over 4 innings. I mean, although he hit, I mean, it looked like he was a little more accurate than Gray was on Monday night. But, you know, and then the bullpen, I thought, looked pretty darn good between Varland, Thielbar, Duran, you know, pitching 5 innings, you know, only giving up a hit and striking out 4. So, I mean, yeah, they did exactly what they needed to do to, you know, seal that win for the Twins on Tuesday. So,
yeah, you know, and it's kind of looking like those three guys out of the bullpen might be the ones we trust the most at this moment. We'll get to that here. Again, on Tuesday, all the runs that they scored were scored on home runs. Ed Julian with a solo homer and Willie Castro with a 2-run homer in the 7th that put them in the lead for good. But yeah, like I said, Louis Varland with 2 1/3 scoreless, throwing smoke. So I really like him in that spot. He might not like to hear that because we know he really wants to be a starter, but glad that he's not pouting about it. Then Wednesday was a tough one. We lost 5-4. Griffin Jacks continues to struggle. I believe his ERA the second half is over 6 or around 6. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's been a rough second half for Griffin. Farmer and Wallner hit homers, and Kepler had a big 2-run triple. At least it looked big at the time until, unfortunately, Jax gave up that 9th inning home run.
And now I don't know if you saw me talk about this during the week with it was Patrick Royce.
Oh no.
About, you know, talking about Griffin Jacks, and you know, we always say, you especially with starting pitching, you never want to pay attention to their record.
No, but
in this case, 10 losses by a relief pitcher is that's a very alarming number, mm-hmm, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, and now you're saying his ERA is up around 6. So you definitely know that he's not one of our better arms in the bullpen right now. And being this close to the end of the season, yeah, you know, I'm kind of afraid to see, you know, what's going to happen with him as we get to the end of the season. Is he somebody that are we going to rely on, you know, for the playoffs?
Right. It just doesn't seem like. I just don't know how they're going to, how they would be able to, you know, it's weird that it's gone this long and they haven't figured out if it's a mechanical issue or what is up with his second half performance.
He's got to be, and it could be easily something where he's tipping his pitches somehow.
It could be mechanics, could be tipping pitches, could be
anything. You know, he's doing
maybe
something.
He's not telling them he's hurt. I don't know. I don't know. we just whatever it is, he's not getting the job done, and it is very concerning because he has been very good for us since coming to the big league team. And for him to fall apart like this is very concerning, isn't it?
Yeah, most definitely.
But I tell you, what's not concerning is the pitching this weekend was a lot better. Now, you could say it was because the competition is in kind of let's get this season over mode in the Chicago White Sox, which a few I saw a few comments on Twitter and about that they look like they're really just playing because they have to. They're, as they say, they have a lot of quit in them. and it kind of showed this weekend. First two games, the Twins took it to them. Identical scores of 10-2. The offense was just rolling. Royce Lewis, I'm not sure if he's human, man. He had a home run in both those games, including another grand slam on Friday. He's already got 5 career grand slams in, like, what was it, 66 games or something ridiculous?
Yeah, that is just wow. I mean, it's fun to see it. I mean, I don't know. You know, you might as well ride the wave, but yeah, that's just amazing. I mean, you know, and it's seems like most of the time it's came up in, you know, clutch situations where we kind of needed it. Other than probably just this weekend when he did it, but I know a couple times, you know, those four, you know, them grand slams have been in, you know, have been the go ahead runs for us. So no, it's good to see, and you know, hopefully, you know, it's that momentum carries.
Yeah. What was cool about this one though is he got to do it in front of his parents. They were in Chicago for that series, so that was cool to see. Audra Martin interviewed them this weekend, so that was cool. So Thursday, Maeda looked good. He went 7 innings and gave up a couple runs and struck out 8. Julian, he continues to impress me with his opposite field power. He just has a swing that for some reason is his power is to left and left center. Not sure why his mechanics work that way, but they do, and it's nice to see that. Because he had struggled there for a little while, and he looked mm-hmm. like he's coming out of that and starting to. Because I think his deal, it seemed like he was being kind of timid at the plate, taking a lot of pitches, trying to draw walks or something. And lately, this weekend, it looks like he's starting to get more aggressive. And Friday, I've got here that besides Royce hitting a grand slam, Alex Kirilloff had a nice 3-hit game. And Bailey Ober got called up and was back in the – got a little respite there because of how many innings he's pitched this year. He's never pitched this many in his pro career or probably in his life. So they gave him a couple of weeks off. And but he pitched on Friday and went 5 innings. Gave up a couple runs and struck out 6, so it's nice to see that rest didn't make him rusty or anything. And again, Louis Varland had an impressive looked impressive out of the bullpen, a couple innings and struck out 4 guys. And then Saturday, they kind of they didn't play so good. Pablo Lopez did not have a good night. He had five innings, gave up, did strike out eight, but again, he had trouble with his control or getting outs, and wasn't typical Pablo, or at least what Pablo's been like this year. But they lost 7-6 despite Lewis getting three more hits. Then yesterday, Sonny Gray bounced back from that Monday start and pitched seven shutout innings with six Ks. And the Twins, again, relied on the home run to get all their runs. Julian hit a three-run opposite field homer, and Jorge Polanco chimed in with a solo home run, and Twins shut out the White Sox 4-0. So that's what happened this past week. And now this week, Twins basically they have their last, they're playing the Reds as we speak, and this is the best team they have left on their schedule. The rest of the season, they'll be playing nothing but below 500 teams. And you're going to be seeing one of those coming up this weekend.
Yes. Yes, I will. I will be at the Twins-Angels game on Saturday afternoon. So.
Great.
I was kind of hoping I would have got to stick around for another game on Sunday, but my plans are not going to work out that way. So it's going to be one of them deals where I got to drive down after work on Friday, stay the night, go to the game, and then come back home. So because my dad is who I'm going with is been helping coach our high school fast pitch team. So okay. He's got to be back, and they play on Sunday, so he's got to be back for that. So,
oh, they're still playing. Okay. Huh.
Yeah, this is a different league. It's our fall ball league. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's too bad you only get to see one game, and then the other too bad, I guess, is one of the bigger news items that came across when we talk about league-wide. Shohei's done for the year. They made that official.
I'm kind of surprised it took this long.
Yeah.
To be honest.
It had nothing to do with his elbow, though. He had an oblique strain, and they just said, you know what? Yeah, we got nothing to play for, so we're shutting you down. And that's too bad, because I know you, as anybody would be, were looking forward to being able to see this guy in person. And you won't get to.
Nope, and I assume Mike Trout is still injured also, correct?
Still on the injured list. They keep saying that there's a chance he'll come back before the season's over. But I don't know that there's any chance that you're going to get to see him. I don't know. I haven't heard anything as far as how that's going.
So basically I'm going to be going to a game to watch a bunch of sleds.
You can watch the Twins hopefully have some fun. And if you like Randall Grichuk a lot, he's probably going to get to play. That's about it.
There we go. Yeah, as I say, other than that, they got a couple of young rookies. I don't mind watching young rookies.
Maybe one of them will turn into something, and someday you can say, I watched him play his rookie season. So
there you go.
You never know. And then on the injury front, some news. updates there. Twins have announced that Jose Miranda is going to have, or maybe he has, actually he had already, surgery on his right throwing shoulder. He had impingement syndrome in there. That's what's been wrong, I guess, was causing the weakness that he had been experiencing. So haven't heard anything, so I assume it was successful. And now he's just going to spend the offseason healing up. Other news, Michael A. Taylor, who had been out for a couple weeks, was activated right before the game today, Monday, and he's in the lineup as we speak, and he's already robbed a guy of a home run. So nice to have him back and have that defense back in center. The occasional power he's been providing. But what that means, though, is that Jordan Luplow's stay as a Twin, and it looks like it's over. He was designated for assignment to make room for Taylor. And then the other news, we've got that Nick Gordon, Brock Stewart, Jorge Alcala, Chris Paddock have all started or are currently on rehab assignments trying to get back soon to join the big league team. Of those, I'd say probably the one that matters the most is Brock Stewart.
I would probably say Brock Stewart definitely would be, depending how on Alcala, how he does.
Yeah, could be a nice addition if he's got it figured out.
He could be.
Yep.
Yeah. Nick Gordon, I guess I'm not real. I don't know. He struggled so bad before he got injured. I can't imagine. I don't really know how much of a difference he could make. And then Paddock. I mean, I know we're. I just don't believe Paddock would make much of a dent, you know, in helping the club into the playoffs. So definitely, like I said, Stewart and Alcala would be probably the two guys to kind of take a look at, you know, especially with a struggling bullpen right now. I mean, we can,
exactly.
We can use anybody who's got anybody who can, you know, then, you know, replace what, you know, replace the Jackses and, you know, and whoever else is struggling.
Yeah.
Cause you know, obviously we're not going to need, you know, the one thing is we're not going to need a long relief guy once the playoffs come. So,
you'd hope not.
I would think, you know, more than likely they're not going to need one because I don't think they're going to plan on having one, you know. Right. And, you know, and then you also don't need to carry five starters. So there's two extra spots open there also. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's definitely a chance to, and it doesn't mean that they're not going to use, you know, hitters in that position either.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But yeah, definitely we could use Brock Stewart back, and you know, and Alcala if he's up to par. So
yeah, exactly. I think that is the main concern with this team right now is they've had a shaky bullpen, you know. We've already talked about Jax, but there's been other guys too. Hedrick hasn't done very well. Trying to think of other guys that.
Yeah, I was going to say that's who I was thinking of. I just couldn't think of a name right away.
It's all right. There's other guys too that have had their bad moments. One guy who has had bad moments, but hasn't had them in a while, or very few, is Emilio Pagan.
Emilio.
He's been pretty rock solid lately. So Hopefully he keeps that up and is one of those guys that we can rely on in the bullpen, because he seems to have figured something out where the blow ups, if they have not occurred very much the second half. There's been a couple, but not nearly as many as there were the first year he was here and the first half of this season. So something seems to have been figured out.
Well, fingers crossed anyway.
Oh, yeah. He's one of those guys kind of and if for me anyway, where no matter how long he pitched for the Twins, I was always nervous when LaTroy Hawkins took the mound. Call it PTSD from when he was a starter or early in his career.
Oh, yeah.
So, because he wasn't very good as a starter, obviously. And then when they tried him as closer, he definitely had some good outings, but then he also would have outings where he would blow up, too. It seemed like his niche took him a while to find his niche as a setup guy in the bullpen. And he turned into a very good pitcher when they finally got put there. But even when he was in that role, I was always nervous that something was going to happen, no matter how many times he proved that it wasn't. So it's just,
yeah, that's
kind of the way maybe you feel about Emilio.
Yeah, or Boof Bonser.
Oh, Boof. Yeah. He didn't get nearly the leash that LaTroy did, though.
No.
He was...
I mean, that guy...
He got a couple years, but he didn't...
Yeah.
He didn't, because it feels like LaTroy was with the Twins for like 8 years, and feels like only 3 or 4 of them were that good. I'd have to look back at them again, but it seems to me that it took them a few years to figure out that maybe the bullpen should be where he's at. but that's old news now. I guess we could talk about what do you think they'll do with the playoff roster here. I think it'll be interesting what they decide. Of course, it's very up in the air whether Byron Buxton will be at. They've paused his rehab assignment, and that was a couple weeks ago, and haven't restarted him yet. So that makes it really unlikely even though they're insisting that they think he can still get back in the lineup in time. I just don't see how he can get in the lineup and get rolling again to be much help in the playoffs. I'm just not seeing it. I think he might be on the roster if they need a pinch runner, or if they want to need a guy to pinch hit, maybe. But I just don't see them giving him a full-time role at this point. I don't think you can.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And here's the thing. His first stint obviously didn't go to plan.
Not at all.
So the fact that he's going through a second now reassignment.
Rehab.
There we go. The fact that he's going through another rehab, it makes his chances less of being able to come back and join the roster. I mean, if he does, I agree with you. He would definitely have a very small role. You know, and like I mentioned before, you're not going to need five starters. No, so, you know, that opens up two spots. And, you know, they're not going to carry a long reliever. So, you know.
I think what they might do as far as long relief, I'm sorry, they that might be what they call Louis Varland.
It's possible.
Because he has the experience of starting. So.
Yeah. And that could be Louis Varland. It could be Kenta Maeda. He doesn't get that third spot, or Ober, or, you know, or Joe Ryan, because that third spot's not necessarily in, you know, it's still up for grabs, even though everybody's pretty much saying that Joe Ryan has more than earned that spot.
Yeah.
So, you know, are, you know, what are the Twins going to do? Are they going to just, you know, I mean, are they going to want to carry an extra hitter? You know, and to me, there's too many moving pieces right now, you know, of guys coming back from injury and, you know, and who knows what's going to happen between now and then, you know, the way this season's gone. I mean, anybody could get hurt, you know, like in the game that's going on right now, anybody could get hurt tonight and that could, you know, totally change what we're going to do. I would say probably by the last series, we would probably have a better idea. You know, I think the Rockies are the last game of the year.
Yeah.
I would say by time they're, you know, by the second game in Colorado, I think we could have a pretty darn good idea on what they could possibly do and who, you know, who's going to be healthy and who's not healthy and, and go from there. I mean, there's some guys I know that I, you know, obviously we don't necessarily want to see. I know there's certain players that are in right now that we may not want to see. Like, I know some people may not want to see Andrew Stevenson, but I think Andrew Stevenson's been a heck of a pinch runner. The guy's a very good base runner. He's got speed.
Yeah, and he can play defense if they need it. So,
So, I mean, there's a guy like him that might not be in there, you know. Then obviously we were talking about your, you know, your Winders, your Jacks, you know, Keuchel maybe. I mean, there's guys that we're definitely not going to see on this playoff roster. So, and hopefully Joey Gallo isn't come back anytime soon, but...
Wouldn't that be? I mean, I don't know what, you know, it's. I'm afraid that they might do that, but I, at the same time, I would want to know what the justification is.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, right now the Twins have a lot of. They got a lot of options, which is good.
Yeah.
I mean, right now looking at it, I mean, who knows, you know, maybe other years we could have said, well, it's going to be these guys, you know, there's, you know, no doubt about it, but you know, there's so many moving parts right now, like we discussed at the beginning of the year about, you know, there's so many different ways they can, you know, use these guys, you know, to, you know, on daily basis, you know, that it makes it interesting.
Yeah.
You know, any, you know, there's, you know, depending on the situation. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it will be interesting. What happens there. And we know they'll want flexibility on the roster because that's how Rocco likes to manage. You know, he rarely sends the same lineup out there daily. Now that could be because of injuries or just because he likes to platoon, or we definitely know he likes to pinch hit. He'll take guys out in the middle of the game, you know, before half of the game's done. If a certain matchup presents itself, which I think a lot of us think could be overthinking it. But at the same time, I also get his logic at the same time in a lot of the cases that he does it. But so it'll be interesting and see what they do. They have lots of guys who, you know, like a Stevenson, a Nick Gordon, Byron could be classified as a guy that they have there for running or defensive purposes only, pinch hitting, you know, but aren't going to play a day-to-day or, you know, everyday role starting, you know. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see. But I do think myself that they're going to go with probably a three-man starting rotation for the playoffs. Most teams do that, especially because there are the first round, there's no days off, but once you get past the first round, there's lots of days off. And so you only really need about three starters. And I do think it's going to be Gray, Pablo, and then Lopez and Joe Ryan. I don't know if that'll be the order, but those would be the guys I suspect will be the starters, because they've been there all. I think they've done enough turn. It certainly Gray and Lopez has, no doubts.
Yes.
And with what you had mentioned earlier, with when we were talking about Griffin Jack's struggles and how you had corresponded with Patrick Royce, and they had talked about you can't go by pitchers' records anymore. A great example of that is Sonny Gray. I mean, the man doesn't even have 10 wins this year. And you can't tell me that's his fault at all.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Darn bullpen's fault, or the lineup doesn't score that day. All sorts of things.
Yeah, and I mean, you can look at some of these crappy teams like, you know, Kansas City and Oakland, or, I don't know, Oakland's had a bunch of different guys go through their rotation. So, I mean, there's nobody that's been consistently there all year.
No.
But I mean, look at some of these teams that are really bad, you know, and they always got one pitcher who really stands out that was decent, but you look at his record, it's just, it's disgusting because their whole team is disgusting.
I mean,
so, but like I said, when you get a reliever that has 10 losses like Griffin Jacks, there is a serious problem right there.
Then you can look at the record and go, yikes.
Yeah, yeah. 10, I mean, I don't know, honestly, looking back, you know, in looking at stats in baseball, I mean, you get, every once in a while you see some relevers that have, you know, have a good number of wins and losses, but I've never seen double digit losses by a relief pitcher.
I think I have, but I couldn't tell you a name off the top of my head. But it's very rare to your point. Definitely.
I was going to say, if it's in the winning situation, then obviously they're piggybacking him with a pitcher that can't make it four or five innings. But
I've seen that too. Guys,
but
they call them the sniper. They get put in and in tie games or where their team is trailing, but they get the win because they were in the ball game when their team took the lead. And so,
yeah. So but see, like I said, with Griffin Jacks, who's mostly pitching, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth innings.
Yeah.
You know, and he's only out there for an inning or two, you know, at the most. I mean, yeah. And he's losing that many games. That's just, that is a very uneasy feeling.
Yeah, losing leads late is never good.
That guy is a monster.
Yeah.
Ellie De La Cruz. That guy is a monster. I'll tell you what.
You think a 6'5" shortstop's pretty big, huh? Yeah.
Oh, just watching him swing.
Yeah. He got him out, but yeah, you think he's a big guy. You seen O'Neill Cruz?
Oh yeah.
No, he's even bigger. Yes. But so why don't we talk about some league news here that's kind of made some waves. We had talked a few weeks ago when it was news about Alek Manoah of the Toronto Blue Jays. As we discussed then, he's had a really bad year to the point where they demoted him, I believe, all the way to single A, right? And or was it even worse than that?
I think it was like some single A developmental league.
There you go.
Type deal.
Yeah. And then they brought him back and then I guess demoted him again to triple A. But back in like early August, but he never showed up. Apparently, according to reports, he did not report to triple A. He was so upset about that happening. And that he hasn't been throwing any bullpens or side sessions or anything since being demoted. And obviously they're all upset with him, and it's very unlikely he's going to pitch again this year because of that behavior. On one hand, you got to understand a guy is upset that because he's had a couple of years in the majors where he was pretty successful. And but you can't do this, I don't know how you just that's so unprofessional to
Barry.
He basically quit. He's like, no, I'm not going to Syracuse, New York, or wherever their triple A team. It's Buffalo, isn't it?
Yeah, Buffalo.
And he just flat out said, screw you guys. And I'm a little surprised they didn't. I guess I don't know what his contract status is or how much he's making, but kind of surprised they didn't either put him on the restricted list or maybe even take a real drastic move and release him for that. What are your thoughts about that whole situation? I don't know.
And I was a pretty big fan. Obviously, not recently with his, with his attitude and stuff, I've not been so high on him. But, coming into the league, I thought, I figured this guy was going to set the world on fire. And he did for a while. And then all of a sudden, it all changed. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he lost a step somewhere. And, and I give credit to the Blue Jays, looking out for, his future. They decide, hey, let's send you back down. Let's get this figured out. It could be something very easy, and then work your way back up again. I mean, it's been known to happen. He wouldn't be the first pitcher to ever do that.
Right.
But, and then he was obviously back up, and I guess I hadn't really been paying attention. Obviously, obviously it's not gotten much better.
Yeah.
But now, he's throwing this attitude around that, I part of me wants to say he's probably struggling. You know, I want to say he's, you know, he's probably mentally, he's probably struggling with it.
Could be. And, yeah, we don't know.
You know, but part of me also says, hey, you're a professional. You need to, you know, this is your job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to do, you know, you work for these guys. You need mm-hmm. to do what you are supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to go down to AAA, get down there and go to AAA.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it could help him. You know, I'm not saying it will or won't, but I mean, it could. And, but now you just threw gasoline on a big fire that's already been going on, you know, with your performance.
Yeah.
But now the fact that you're doing this, that's even worse. Now I just don't know what's running through his head. I mean, hopefully, you know, when things happen like this to people, I would like to think that there's a little bit of a confidence thing. Sorry about that. I just saw Vasquez almost get his head taken off.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. anyway, you know, what's going on in his head? I mean, is it the fact that is he throwing a fit? I mean, mm-hmm. is he being a crybaby about it? I mean, to us, it could be, mm-hmm. but you know, is it just he's lacking some confidence right now and he just doesn't know how to deal with it because he's been so successful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about a guy who came up really fast, but he's also fallen from grace pretty darn fast.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm sure that there has to be more to this story than is being reported. And you know, like you said, don't know if he's struggling mentally or, but I mean, I would think, I don't know. I guess I would think if he felt he had a legit reason for this, he or a representative would have come out and said such. At least to my knowledge, that hasn't happened. So it'll be interesting to see what the Blue Jays do going forward with them.
And I'll have to connect with my Canadian buddies and see what they know on what's going on. Maybe they might know a little, you know, I don't know if they'll, I don't, mm-hmm. you know, they might know a little bit more of what's been going on, you know, that we don't know.
Yeah. It's there.
But no, mm-hmm. looking at his contract right now, this is his last year.
Okay.
He's making $745,000.
Okay.
And then he's in pre-arbitration next year.
Okay. So
like I said, he's in pre-arbitration next year, and then he's got his third arbitration year is obviously 2027, and then 2028 he would be a free agent. But
I wonder, or is it too late for them to be messing with his service time that would affect arbitration? I'm just wondering. Thinking that's what they've been trying to do, but
could be possible. I'm not sure. You know, they could be trying to, because right now his service time, he's got, according to Fangraphs, it's 1.130 of service time. So obviously he's one full year and then whatever he's had this year. So
okay. And I don't know.
And I don't know how the whole arbitration thing works, you know, on service time. So I am not that knowledgeable. So,
I guess what it would affect is when he would become a free agent. Because I believe I think 6 years of team control before okay. you're a free agent. And that's from the time you sign. I don't think that has anything to do with major league service time. Major league service time, though, that has to do with
more of their salary, I would assume,
and arbitration time yep. and all that stuff. It's complicated. That's something for any of our listeners who pay attention to the rest of the league. Definitely stay tuned for that story. We already talked about Shohei Ohtani's done for the season. Another guy who's done for the season, Max Scherzer for the Rangers. They found a strained muscle in his arm called a teres major. And it's a muscle that connects the scapula to the humerus. It sounds like it's been updated from unlikely to, yeah, he's not going to pitch in the regular season. And most likely he's not going to be pitching in any playoffs they may make. So that's a big blow because obviously the Rangers acquired him for that very reason. to be a guy that they that will help them in the playoffs, and now he's not going to. So that's too bad. And he's such a good pitcher that it's never good when a guy has to miss. That's important.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and that's a team that definitely does not need to have any more things happen to them, you know, any setbacks, because, mm-hmm. you know, like last week when we discussed, they've had such a horrendous bullpen
yeah.
lately. And and now to be without, you know, one of their key arms, that hurts it even worse. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, then they already kind of had a loaded rotation. But still, I mean, this is, you know, Max Scherzer. I mean, he's one of the best guys in the game. And
you may make the Hall of Fame. I mean.
Exactly. You definitely want that arm for playoff time. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they got him. So it's really a big blow. And they've been struggling the way it is this second half. Or at least the last few weeks. And, they're not out of playoff contention, but they went from first place, and now they're battling a few teams to stay in the race. You know, with the Blue Jays and the Rays, and I guess technically you could put the Orioles in there, because even though they're in first place, they're by a skinny margin. So.
Yeah,
you know, that'll be the fun part. You know, that's going to be fun to watch who exactly is going to come out of that race, that wild card and AL East race there. You know, the other divisions, I mean, we know Twins are pretty much sealed it here. Their magic number as we speak is 5. And if they're trailing right now, but if they come back and win this, it'll be down to 4. So they could clinch it while you're there this weekend.
Hey, that would be great.
Yeah. Or they could do the boring thing and have it clinched for them on an off day. They have an off day on Thursday. So... it's possible that it happens then. But we will see. I don't know if you have any thoughts of who you think might come out of that that wild card in the AL East race there.
I don't know. I mean, the Astros, you know, they started out the year pretty rough, but I mean, I think they're going to be in full control. It just depends on what, you know, the Rangers and the Mariners. You know,
yeah, the Mariners have been smoking hot lately.
Yeah, well, and they were, you know, they're actually a game behind the Rangers right now, and they're 2.5 out of the division.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, with the Rangers losing Scherzer, I mean, that's one more arm they cannot, you know, because right now, if playoffs started now, they'd be going in with Montgomery, Eovaldi, and I think John Gray. You know, other than that, they don't have anything beyond that. That's even really, do you really want to start this guy in a playoff game? You know, I guess you could make an argument for Dwayne Dunning, but yeah. I don't know if I, you know, that's definitely not one, you know, you definitely don't want him in there if you have those other three guys. But I don't know, the Mariners, you know, like I said, have been, you know, they're having a good year. I mean, they're still hanging in there. Blue Jays, you know, we could end up seeing the Blue Jays. I mean, it's hard to say. I'd say we could there's about three teams we definitely could see. You know, it's either going to be Blue Jays, Mariners, or Rangers. So, and I guess out of all of them, would rather play the Rangers.
Yeah. You know, the way they're currently constituted, I think I would too. But if they could sneak in there and the Twins end up playing them, I think that, I mean, yeah. You know, you wouldn't have to face Scherzer, and you get a shot at that bullpen. You were just talking about how shabby they've been. They might be the team, if Twins could pick, that's the team they probably would like to see. I think the team I don't want them to see is probably the Mariners, because they are playing very well right now. They got a little more coming back to do, but they've been hot, and you know, they started off slow this year, and I think I picked them to win the AL West, if I remember right, and they may end up doing that, or they may end up getting that wild card spot. Just because they poured it on the second half here. So that'll be interesting there. Some other really big news came out of Boston this week. Red Sox have fired their chief baseball operating officer, Chaim Bloom, and also announced that their general manager, Brian O'Halloran, has been offered a new senior leadership position within the baseball operations department for the Red Sox. So, what do you think about that? They don't really wait around in places like Boston and New York for when their teams fail, do they?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, in my opinion, Boston's kind of needed a change. The last few years with these guys in there, I don't really like how they've built their teams.
Yeah.
You know, they've traded away a lot of good pieces, and then they bring in these guys that are, you know, that made me question, you know, it made me totally question, you know, what are they doing? You know, it's kind of like, sort of like the Rockies of, you know, the AL, you know, they got some of these young guys, you know, and, you know, and then they have these veterans who they brought in, and you kind of sit there and question, why did you bring these guys in? Yeah. You know, like bringing in Trevor Story when they wanted him to come in and play second base. You know, I mean, I totally did not understand that whole philosophy, you know, then letting Bogarts go, and just, some of these guys that they brought in some veterans to me that I don't understand. Like, I'm trying to think, was Paxton one other one they brought in? I questioned that one. It's like, you know,
not knowing what, the man has an injury history. Yeah.
Well, and it's not necessarily that. I mean, it's just, it's like, what direction are you going here? Are you, I mean, you got a decent core of young players that you should probably, you know, build on.
That's
you trade them away and then you bring in these old guy, you know, these old veterans that, you know, like, you know, Justin Turner, another one, you know, what was the sense of bringing him in?
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's if you're going to bring in guys like that, then you don't be trading guys away like, you know, Bogarts and, you know, anybody else that they've traded away. I don't understand what they're trying to do, and either do their fans. You know, and that was one of the biggest things in the offseason, that they sat there and questioned. It's like, what are the Red Sox doing? You know, they brought in Eric Hosmer. It's like, why? What? I mean, what? You know, not saying Eric Hosmer is a horrible player. I actually like Eric Hosmer. I think he's, you know, he's a very respectable player. I just don't understand, you know, when it comes to building a team, that he is just not what. I don't understand what that piece is trying to, you know, what you're bringing that piece in for. You know, it's just, it made me question
that one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people question that one. And he's got a hefty price tag, too, you know, because he signed a big deal when he went to the Padres. And a lot of people question why the Padres brought him in for that. And now he doesn't, you know. And then he was a Cub for a little bit, and he's not playing. He's still earning money, but he's not playing anywhere. Yeah, there. You know, the one thing is that's different with a team like Boston. You know, they don't really care about developing players. They're all about, you know, they rely more on spending money. You know, they know they're a big market and should be able to attract big free agents. But to that point, the ones that they've gotten, you question how are they a fit, and then the ones that they've let go, like a Bogarts. And then replaced him with a Trevor Story, although not really, since Trevor's playing second base instead of shortstop.
No, they had somebody else there. I can't remember who it was. Mondesi. They had Mondesi playing there.
They got
from Kansas City. It's like, what?
Raul's kid. That's right.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, they have no sense of direction on what they're doing. And it's just, it drives me nuts. I'm glad, and I'm not even a Red Sox fan. Actually,
I don't really even like them.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of them. I guess if it had to be them and the Yankees, I'd probably take the Red Sox, obviously. But I just don't. As a guy who enjoys watching, you know, obviously, whether it's playing video games or my Strat-O-Matic leagues, you know, you build teams, you know, you build things. I mean, and I'm really into that kind of stuff. And I do not understand, you know, the whole reasoning of why they do what they do, because it's I don't know. And you know, and sometimes I question if it's just a me thing, you know, cause it's totally against how I would build a team. Because if I have a good core of veterans that could easily win, I'm going in, I'm going to get everything I can to make this team, you know,
especially
good. But if I'm a team that, you know, that's struggling, I got a bunch of a young core of players, well, I'm going to build. I'm going to get the, you know, I'm going to kind of try and build, you know, maybe bring a veteran or two in, nothing major, just something to kind of build around. But yeah, these guys just have no sense of direction, and it's frustrating.
Yeah. And I'm sure for actual Red Sox fans, it's even more confusing what they're doing. But yeah, that was the big news. So there, we'll see, I guess, where he ends up, because I'm sure he will get a new job somewhere. But they've already announced that no, Theo Epstein's not coming back, because I'm sure those rumors were trying to spread throughout Boston, like, maybe we can get Theo to come back. Nope. The Red Sox have shot that down. You know, the kid wonder, who's not a kid anymore, doesn't sound like he's very interested in running a team anymore. So,
And looking at their roster, I mean, they got some decent pieces that they could try and, you know, go with, you know, like Luis Urias, you know, Reese McGuire, you know, obviously you got Verdugo and Devers. I mean, they got some, you know, a decent core of guys that they could, you know, they could maybe hang back and just kind of, you know, not necessarily compete, you know, and just try and build again. You
know, that I don't know what fly in Boston.
Yeah,
that's an impatient fan base. They want you to compete every stupid year. And so they won't stand for another rebuilding season.
They'll
put the pressure on the front office to rebuild this team and rebuild it very fast.
That's why they're called fans.
Yep.
And they don't get it.
They won't be patient if they have a season like this again. And so that's what the difference is with big market and small and mid market teams. Are like Twins fans, they understand we're not getting anybody we want. You know, off the free agent market, unless it's the very rare case of Carlos Correa. Somehow that happened. But that's the only time that's ever happened
If they did, you know, if they did take a season where, okay, you know, I don't think we're, you know, playoff ready team, you know, let's, you know, and if they got some stuff cooking in the farm system, you know, in AAA, I mean, 1 year, to me, 1 year wouldn't be that bad. I mean, I could, you know, I don't expect them to go on a, you know, like a long stint of bad years like, you know, Baltimore has. But I mean, 1 year just to kind of fall back and regroup, I mean,
they might do that.
I would like to think a roster, you know, or I should say a roster, a fan base would kind of buy that. I know it's Boston, but I think a fan base would have a little more respect for their club if they said, "Hey guys, you know, we're just not quite there. We got some pieces coming. Be patient with us. If it ain't this year, we're definitely doing it next year." I mean, you know, I mean, if my club come up and said that, I'd be okay with that. I mean, just tell us, you know. I mean, you know, as long as it doesn't turn into a 10-15 year rebuild like Baltimore or, you know, or Oakland or
Twins of the early 90s.
Yeah, or them. I mean, it's just, you know, that's where guys like you and me, we're smart. We understand this kind of stuff. Where obviously some baseball fans just don't pay attention to that. They just look at the product that's out there right now, and it's not exactly what they want. So,
yep.
You know,
that's the way it goes. And then just a couple things I saw before we started that I put in down here. Looks like all those moves that the Guardians and Reds made, the waiver claims and all that. We obviously know they pretty much have not all worked out at all. And in fact, one of those lost his job today. Hunter Renfro was designated for assignment by Cincinnati this afternoon. So I didn't look at any details like how bad he's performed for them, but it must not have been very good.
Do not know. Yeah, that's kind of, he's, I didn't think he was having that bad of a season. I'm kind of jumping on baseball reference to kind of look and see where he's at right at the moment. Yeah, he is having a pretty bad year. You know, he's only batting .233. He doesn't, his on-base percentage isn't even at .300, so he's slightly under. He's hit 20 home runs, though, so but he's got a minus war, so he's most definitely not having a very good season. Looked like he batted .128 with Cincinnati, so no. I totally understand that them letting him go, so... I would probably chalk this season up for him, just, unless somebody desperately, who's a playoff team that needs a veteran guy out there to play, I don't really see anybody probably picking up on him.
At this point, if you bring a guy in from outside your organization now, he's not playoff eligible unless you petition the league or something. It would be a very interesting if a team did at this point with only 2 weeks to go. So
yeah, maybe somebody who's just trying to cross the finish line and get through the year, who's had a lot of injuries. But other than that, I think he should just hold off next year. Pick, somebody. He'll get invited to play somewhere. So he's only 31 years old. And he's been a decent player the last few years with the Angels, and he had a good decent season in Milwaukee before that, and he was all right with San Diego. So I think he'll be okay. He'll end up somewhere. This was earlier in the season and we were, had a lot of what ifs, I would, probably maybe mention the Twins, maybe should try and take a shot on him. But
yeah, I was kind of hoping Twins might during the trade deadline obviously they had other ideas. And then the last thing I have down here is that looks like the Rays are going to try to stay in St. Petersburg. Looks like they're going to get a new stadium here and should be completed by 2028. And it looks like it's going to be a closed roof stadium again, but in a lot, at least you would hope, a lot better shape than Tropicana Field. I think it's going to cost, I thought I saw $1.2 billion to build it, is what they're estimating. And it's going to go kind of in the same area that Tropicana is currently. It's what I read a few minutes before we started. So,
Good deal. It's kind of one of the things. Tampa has been, a decent franchise. The way they build a team and what they put on the field is the point of not spending a lot of money to do it. Developing the way they develop pitchers. They definitely have something going there, and it would really stink to lose them because they couldn't get a darn stadium, and hopefully a new stadium will attract fans, because I know that's another thing they have issues with sometimes, is not getting fans down there. But yeah, anybody who's ever been to the Trop, I've been by there. I've never been in there, but that place looks like a dump. It's like driving. It's like almost like driving by the Metrodome. Mm. You know, I mean, I know Metrodome was. It's a dump, but it was our dump.
That's our dump, man. Home sweet dome.
Yeah. But I tell you what, though, taking the light rail to Target Field, it's a lot better looking at U.S. Bank Stadium than it is the Metrodome. So.
Shoot. All the memories.
Yeah. No, that's good. I'm glad they got something working. So now only if Oakland could stay in Oakland.
That doesn't look like that's going to happen.
No, it doesn't.
And what it does do is, you know, yeah, you do hope this works out and that this is what will spark fans to show up, because they've always had a problem with that. Their whole existence is fans showing up, mm-hmm. You know, and everybody's always said the excuse is the location of Tropicana Field. And I don't know, you said you've been by it, so I don't know if you can speak to that. If it's really in a terrible location. But that's what I've always heard, is it's in a terrible location. And so.
It's you know, it's downtown. It is in downtown Tampa. Mm-hmm. Or St. Petersburg, I'm sorry. But it's. I don't know. I've only been down there only a couple times, so I'm not real familiar with the whole area, you know, right. of the city. But I mean, I'll take somebody's word for it that it's not exact, you know, if it's in a crappy spot, I mean, I'll believe it, you know. And maybe down there, it's probably one of them deals where it probably should be built maybe away from the city, more kind of on the outskirts, mm-hmm. you know, I guess. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't been down there enough. I've just been by there and kind of that part of town down there where, and you could see it. It does. It's an eyesore.
Yeah.
So,
definitely isn't the prettiest stadium at all. And it's funky because they've got all sorts of what they call catwalks up around the roof. And if you hit one, it's a double. If you hit another, it's a home run. It's like, what's going on here? So hopefully whatever they get here is not going to have all these idiosyncrasies and, that it will attract the fans, because you know, like you said, they have been, despite the fact that they don't really pay anybody, they churn out prospects and turn them into great pitching and just players, and they stay competitive that way. They're the ultimate build from within, you know, and to see a team that is very consistent and good year after year not get the fan support, it sucks. You know, the Marlins have had the same problem in Miami. And it really didn't get solved when they got a new ballpark. So that's why I'm kind of skeptical about that. You know, I just wonder if Florida people don't like baseball.
It could possibly be. I mean, I'll tell you what, though. I mean, it is that ballpark down there is really nice in Miami. I've never seen it in person, but just seeing it enough on TV, and ever since they got rid of that whatever the heck that thing was in center field, I have no idea what that thing was, but that was
almost ruined the whole thing.
That would have ruined my experience. That's for darn sure. So
well, and then they had like neon green walls going on for a few years there. Are you trying to make it ugly, guys? It's working. you might want to change that. And they did. change those two things. And it is, from what I see too, it is a nice place. Like you, I've never been there. The only two major league ballparks I've ever been inside are the Metrodome and Target Field. So myself. But yeah, I mean, granted, the Marlins, they have, you know, they, besides the 2 years that they've won the World Series, they have a lot of losing in their history. So in that way, you understand why fans wouldn't show up. But this year they're competitive, so I hope they're showing up this year. I haven't really watched any Marlins games, to be honest, at least not fully and completely. So I don't know, but just their history is that the fans don't show up there. And it's a little weird because, you know, they have no trouble with fans going to spring training games. Mm. Now, that could be just because that's a bunch of snowbirds.
Shikesters.
Looking for something to do instead of coming back up to the northern states. And the one thing that also this means is that at least for now, it doesn't look like the city of Nashville is going to get a Major League Baseball team. Because that's been rumored for years that if a team moves, that they're probably number one on the list of them, or Las Vegas was probably one or two on the list of places that's going to get a team. And it's going to be, as of right now, it's going to be Las Vegas that gets one with the A's. So,
yeah.
So if there's any baseball fans in Nashville, you're going to have to wait a little longer, it looks like. Also, any thoughts that the Rays turn into the second coming of the Montreal Expos, doesn't look like that's going to happen either. So that's how that looks right now. Did we miss anything, or was there anything that you thought of that you would want to talk about before we wrap this puppy up for the night?
No, I think we pretty much hit on everything. Hopefully, you know, as you know, we get through, hopefully by next week, we kind of got a better idea of, you know, a playoff picture and maybe a playoff roster, you know, kind of give us some hints on what's going on. But no, other than that, that's about it.
Yeah, we just now at this point, really, we just want guys to get healthy and stay healthy. This is really what the Twins want to do at this point, I'd say. If you can get some momentum going to go into the playoffs with, great. But also, some would argue there's no such thing as momentum in baseball. So yeah, that's basically what's going on here. The Twins' remaining schedule is just the Reds, and then the Angels, and then the Rockies, right? That's it?
Yeah, I believe so.
And then after that, playoffs start. Twins are probably going to be opening at home, probably going to end up playing. There's still an outside possibility if they get hot enough that They don't have to play the first round, but it's most likely they will, and they'll host it. And looking at the bracket, they showed the bracket before the game tonight, and if they get through the first round, well, first of all, it looked like the first round right now. I think it's still the Rangers that they'd face.
It would be the Mariners.
Mariners, okay.
Yeah.
So then the second round they have the Astros waiting for them because the Astros would get a bye. So Twins would face the Astros if things stay the way they are today. But the way things are going, that's not that likely. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. Before we keep on rambling here, I think we'll wrap this up and just see how it plays out. We'll reconvene next Monday.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. You can find us on all the social medias and all the podcast platforms. Thank you, guys, and have a good week.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Twins Nation podcast. You can follow the show on Facebook and on Twitter. On Facebook, just search for Twins Nation podcast. On Twitter, we're at Twins Nation Pod. And Joe is at Big Joe Gunn.